Dan. It's always a pleasure to be at Curtis, give messages, and be with each and every one of you today. By the way, that was an outstanding message that Dan gave this morning, and good job, Dan. Let's see, 26. Today's message is Christianity. The question is, what is a Christian? There was a poll recently taken, and they were asking everybody if they were a Christian. And 77% of the men answered that they were a Christian. 86% of the women said that they were a Christian. Now, I kind of wonder what they think is a Christian when they call themselves a Christian. Today, we're going to look at some scripture in Acts and in the book of John, book of Peter, and we're going to try to dissect what we are in this room here as believers in Jesus Christ. What is a Christian? Is it Jesus? Is it faith? Is it church? Is it a nation? Three things that make us a Christian. If we could turn to Acts 11, and we're going to see where Christianity started out. And we're going to start in verse 26 and read a little bit there. And we're going to try to dissect that. Verse 26 of Acts reads, "And when he had found him, he brought him into Antioch." Antioch is a city, a great city. "And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves." So basically they gathered this whole year with the church. Now the church is the people, not the building. "And taught the people." So kind of like what we're doing here today. "And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." So Christianity started with the disciples of Jesus Christ. "And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it by the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." So as we see way, way back in time, Christians were the disciples. Another passage we read in Acts 2:47 would say, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." You cannot become a Christian unless you're saved or born again. As we read in this scripture with Nicodemus, we are taught on what it means to be born again and become a Christian. John 3, 4, "Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old?" See, there's two births. You got your fleshly birth, which is right now as we are in the flesh, and then your spiritual birth, which means born again. Not born of the flesh, born spiritually. "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Now, that's just kind of foolish thinking. I mean, some people would think there would be something called... what is it called? It's when you go back a second time. Some of these Hollywood people. What is it, Bruce? Thank you. Reincarnation. Some people think that you could re-enter and do that, but that is totally false. "And Jesus, the Son of God, answers him and says to him..." Remember, Nicodemus was a wise ruler at this time. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God." So what he's saying there is, if you're not born again, you're not going to heaven, period. This is how serious it is if you're not born again and have not received Christ as your Savior, while dwelling on this temporary planet we're in right now. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. We're all flesh right now. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. God gives you a new heart, a new mind. The old man that you were is now put away and dead. That's why when you get baptized, it's a commandment to get baptized, and you're dying with Christ, and you are announcing it to the world that you're dying, and you're a new person in Christ when you get baptized by water. We were studying that in Bible study. Being baptized doesn't save you. That's just a commandment from God. Marvel not that I said unto you that ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listed, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst thou not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now as we see here, Nicodemus was told the truth about being born again and becoming a Christian. Acts 16, 30 and 31 says, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's as easy as that. As soon as you accept Christ as your Savior, you're born again. You're born again into a new heavenly home. Romans. 1 Timothy says, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? When we get constantly lied to and bombarded by all these religions, Church of Scientology, the Buddha. I'm going to go with the Church of Scientology. I just read an article today on Kirstie Alley condemning something about Tom Cruise or something like that, about that type of religion. And they've been lied to for many, many years. And they will die with the lie. Look what we just read here in 1 Timothy 2:4. Who will have all men to be saved? This is the truth. This is the correct way to be saved. And to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Because if you think about it, we were all born wicked, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I found this passage, if you want to turn to it, it's a great one. It starts from not the beginning, I'm talking the very beginning. I'm talking right out of the womb, we're wicked. We're wicked. Psalm 58:3, look at that. Everybody, please turn to this passage. We overlooked this, but I saw this and I just couldn't believe what I was reading. Unbelievable. It says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they're born. Is this moral? This, God gives you the entire truth right from the beginning. I mean, we haven't said a word, and then it says speaking lies. We're already lying. We can't even talk, and we're lying. That's where it goes, right from the beginning of that. If we look at that passage, though, we're speaking lies. We need a Savior immediately. Now, we're looking at is how does somebody become a Christian? We are saved by Christ, and we stand for Christ as a Christian. And we need to have the ability to talk about Christ. I ran into a buddy not too long ago, and we were just talking. And you always want to kind of convert the conversation over to the Lord if you possibly can with somebody that's not saved. And he was talking with me, and I was talking with him, and he said he had a couple kids and stuff like that. And I said, oh, I go to this church. He goes, yeah, church. He goes, yeah, I'd like to take them to Mass. And obviously I heard that, and I didn't like what I heard. I said, take him to Mass. I said, why don't you read him the Bible? Now we have Mass as a religion, Or do we have God's word and have a relationship with Jesus? What would you rather have? Religion or a relationship? That's how blind we are out there. That's how blind everyone is out these doors are. What's sad is, they go into these churches with a religion and not a relationship. So I tried to explain that. And it takes time to learn this stuff. That's why reading your Bible, which most people do not want to do, Christians do, because we have a relationship with Almighty God. And every time you open the Bible up, you're going to get fed the word and you're going to get spiritually blessed. Ever since I got back to church about 7-8 years ago, praise God for that. Every time I've opened the Bible, I felt blessed. Not one time. That's how powerful the word of God is. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Affects your soul and your spirit. Another guy I ran into at the Dunkin' Donuts, it was the same thing. He was going to church and I gave him a track. I said, this is what it's all about. It's standing for Christ. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16. It says this, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. You know, the thing about why nobody wants to be a Christian is you suffer. But as we look at this passage here, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed of it. I mean, look what happened to Peter. Follower of Christ, a disciple, and he denied the Lord 3 times. You talk about ashamed. Where he wept bitterly, being ashamed of the Lord. You know, that is a horrible, horrible feeling. But as the word tells us in many verses, that we're going to suffer as Christians, no doubt about it. As soon as you bring it up, they start getting angry. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. If you're in the dark and you're in the world on a constant daily basis, and there's no light whatsoever, and as soon as the light comes at you, it's all of a sudden your arms are up wondering, whoa, man, what is this light? I don't like the light. Turn the light off. Let me back in the dark room where I can continue being evil. That's why when the gospel is spread upon these people and us Christian warriors are speaking the word, nobody wants to hear it. 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Don't be surprised. You shocked that you're hated for being a Christian? When they persecute you and talk behind your back and gossip about you? They're lost. But you got to remember something. There's a day of judgment. It's appointed unto man unto man once to die and then the judgment. Everybody answers. I was talking to Dan not too long ago. We try to talk to people, but hey, you got your own appointment with the Lord one day. And that's a serious appointment. So you could go about your way all you want to, but there'll be a day. There'll be a day. So when we suffer for the Lord, rejoice. We have an eternal reward coming to us when we die. That is unspeakable. Is unspeakable. Paul says that he reckons that nothing can compare to what's to come. You can't even compare the suffering. Not whatsoever. Let's look at a few passages in Matthew. Matthew 12:30. We're going to read these. Now Jesus himself says all this stuff. I am just a messenger. I love this one. Look at this one. Danny, look at this. 12, Bruce, look at this. 12:30, look at this. We almost ought to read it together. This is a blessing. Look at Jesus himself is saying this. He that is not with me is against me. If you're not for Jesus, you're against him. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wow. Hey, there's no lukewarm here, folks. No warm bottle, no warm milk, no marshmallows with chocolate milk in it and warm it up in the microwave oven, none of that. It's either cold or you're hot. You're no sitting on the fence with the Lord. He'll spew you out of his mouth. Look at another passage in Matthew 10:22. Oh, it gets better. Oh. Look at this one. And ye shall be hated. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. You know, when I got saved back in, I think, in 93, I told a friend of mine that I'd go around in my work truck and listen to the Bible on video or audio tape all day. And I remember coming across this passage. And I remember getting around some of my old friends again. And, you know, I didn't know it at the time, but I remember going to like a pool hall with them. And I had a cross around my neck. And I was proud of it, man. I was born again. But I was an outcast. They hated me. They made fun of me. Oh, you know, I don't know. We were there. They go, you know, he goes, why don't you tuck that thing in? Just a cross that I openly wore. I'll never forget that. I mean, I don't hang around these guys no more. They're lost as lost can be. But I just changed right there and then. But I was still a young Christian, obviously. I just got saved. I didn't know much, but I was reading the Bible and getting into the Word of God. But it says, you're going to be hated. Expect that. You'll be hated of all men for Jesus' sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. What you got to do is you got to be right there. Right there, strong. Right to the end. And when you start to get weak, turn it back up, strong. It's not easy to do that. But that's what we have to do as Christians down here. Philippians 1:29 says, let me grab a drink of water here and we'll read the next one. Philippians 1:29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. That's a great passage. Let me go back to my notes. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. What is life? People think this is life. This is not life. Life is eternal life, as we see in this passage right there. So Christians, there's a passage in Acts which I wanted to go to. This is with the Apostle Paul talking to Agrippa, if you guys are familiar with that. I'm sure some of you are. Acts, I believe, I wanted to, Acts 26. Let's see, Acts 26. And I'm just going to bounce around a few of these passages, but this is where he almost convinces Agrippa to become persuading him to become a Christian. Now remember, Paul is the best example of what being born again is. I mean, look at, he's murdered over 1,500 or is it 1,000 Christians before he got born again. I'm not certain. But what an example of an ungodly person to become the most highly exalted, one of the highly exalted people in the Bible. That's how God takes somebody and goes from A to B like that. He turns it right around. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak. They weren't going to let Paul speak. They were beating him and whipping him and putting him in jails because he was preaching the word of God. Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered himself, I think myself happy. Man, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, knows all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if thou wouldest testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee at one time. And now I stand and I am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise are 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night. Hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? Here we go. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints that I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. So as you see how Paul, who was once an enemy of God and did a lot of bad things, is now doing just the opposite, trying to win people to Christ. Whereupon I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief. He was on his way to kill him. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven. Here we go. Above the brightness of the sun shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? You see that conversion almost immediately. And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Now you see there, he says, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. He didn't say, my people. It's the same thing as saying his people. Christians are Jesus' people. But rise and stand upon thy faith, for I have appeared unto thee for a purpose. Call them out to make him thee a minister and witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things which I will appear unto thee. After that conversion, it has been no easy picnic for the Apostle Paul. And that's why people, as Christians, they don't last too long in the race. When we say to keep our minds on the prize and keep our focus, you see many, many people drop right out of the race. And boy, it's easy to do. The devil, he don't mind you going to church. He don't mind you doing this. He don't mind you being religious. He don't mind you doing good things. As long as you're not in the Bible reading God's word on a daily basis, that's the only thing he does not want, because the truth will set you free. Oh, the truth will set you free, right? Amen. Isn't that right? Amen. The truth will set you free. That's why as a Christian, it is a hard life, but the Lord is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that comforting to know, Christians? As we go out and battle this world, no matter how big somebody is, God did not give the spirit of fear, but of sound mind. We should not be afraid of anybody or anything out there. I ride a motorcycle. I shouldn't be afraid to get on that motorcycle. If I am, the devil's getting in my head. God did not give the spirit of fear, period. So soldiering on as Christians. Oh, there's a couple things in Romans that are good I wanted to read a little bit of. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Let me see Romans. Just give me a second. Romans 10. 10, 13. Oh, yeah. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture, the Bible, saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You know, when you stand before God in judgment, if you're ashamed of him, he'll tell his Father that he's ashamed of you. We should never, never be ashamed of being a Christian or being a believer in Christ. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him, whosoever believeth on him. The Lord is no respecter of persons, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Thank you, Bruce. Had enough yet? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? If you don't believe, you can't call on him. If you believe, you'll call on him. Oh, this is beautiful. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? If you're not here, he that hath an ear, let him hear. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be what? Sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good, glad tidings of good things. And remember something, you share the gospel with somebody and they get arrogant or riled up with you. What does the Bible say to do? You dust your feet and walk away. Right? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when you hear that word, it takes over. And you have to make a decision. So when you preach that word or give a gospel tract out as a Christian, don't be ashamed to do so. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Because that's what we live by, and that's what we are setting ourselves up for eternal bliss with the Lord. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. And that's really hard to do as a Christian. When you're persecuted, the Lord says to bless them. Hey, I had a real problem with that one. I wanted to fight, and I wanted to argue, and I wanted to yell back. But the Lord, let the Lord handle it. Bless and curse not. Bless these people. That's hard to do, isn't it? They hate us. They hate us. They hate Jesus. They hate good. They take evil as good and good for evil in this dark hour, in this desolate day we live in. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers of the air. It's their spirits. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. I love that scripture, and I always try to do that the best I can. No matter who I come across, whether they're this nationality, that nationality, just live peaceably. That's what he's saying. The Lord is saying, live peaceably. Get along with people. Don't argue. Don't fight. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. Don't give place unto wrath. That's what the devil wants. For it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him a drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That's how you win the war out there as a Christian. You stick with God's word, and you live by it, and you become a strong Christian. Well, that is my message for the night. And I am glad everybody came out. So, that's just a little bit of a look on what it is to be a Christian. Onward, Christian soldiers. Keep up the good fight out there. Spread the word of God. Tell everybody you can. Pass a track out. Don't pass 50 tracks out in a day. Pass one out a week. You never know, it might change somebody's outlook on their eternal soul. And love one another. We'll close. Father, we just thank you for this message today. I thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak on your word, Lord. We love the Bible. We love your word. We love the church of Jesus Christ, Lord, that gather here. We ask that you bless each and every one tonight, Lord. We thank you for the gathering. We want to lift Bob Skelton up now, Lord, as he's been bouncing around to hospitals, trying to get himself together, Lord. We'd love to see him back here. We pray for Michelle and Bobby as well. Pray for Virginia and her daughter, Barb, who's dealing with drugs and alcohol real bad. My mother, Mary Carpenter, be with them. And just be with each and every one of us, Lord. We're blessed today. Keep us strong. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.